This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Don't forget, you can email the show anything you want, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We have more FBI problems and, you know, kind of us waking up problems. We have more culture war stuff still to come on the show. We're going to talk about Christmas cards. We're going to get to emails. We're going to get to all kinds of different things here on the show. I'm not doing any more of that right now at all. I quit. I quit all the politics and culture stuff. You know why? This is my show and I get to do whatever I want. And because today is December 7th. Today is the anniversary of Pearl Harbor. And I thought to myself, you know, what would you enjoy today? What would you enjoy today that you're probably not going to get many other places, if any? Well, I thought maybe we should do a bit more background on Pearl Harbor because it's much, much, much more complicated than people would have you believe. And there were reasons behind all of it. And so I'm not doing any more politics now for a little while until I talk some Pearl Harbor. For instance, we're going to go a little bit more in depth here. For instance, you have heard, I'm sure, a bunch today, the famous FDR statement of December 7th, 1941, a day, what, Chris? That's a good impression. A day, yeah, it is, Chris, a day that will live in infamy. That basically sounds identical to FDR. But did you know the whole speech was about 4 minutes long? Did you know I'm going to play large chunks of it for you, if not all of it? Oh, I don't know, right about now.
Mr. Vice President, Mr. Speaker, members of the Senate, of the House of Representatives, yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States.
I'm going to pause there. Don't worry. I'm going to play a bunch more of it. Don't worry. We're going to pause there because he does a big build up and you can really hear the indignation in his voice. Let's rewind. How did we get to a place where Japan would send an entire naval fleet across the Pacific Ocean in secret to launch a Sunday morning attack on Pearl Harbor when we weren't even at war with Japan? How did we get there? Well, let's ask history. Now, Japan, because this is really more of a Japanese story than an American story. Japan Japan was for so long, a lot of this is because it's an island nation, but Japan was for so long, for hundreds and hundreds of years, it was a very factional, very isolated country. And this is what I mean. They would have a shogun who was considered the military leader of Japan. And then there was an emperor who was supposedly above the shogun, but kind of wasn't really above the shogun. He was supposed to be. But even still, I want you to think about Japan as a place that was divided up into various states. We'll just call them states. It makes it easy for people to understand. And there was in charge of a state something called a daimyo. I'm probably saying that wrong, but I don't care. I'm not Japanese. It's called a daimyo. And consider him the king of his state. And he had warriors, samurai. You well know these. He had all kinds of warriors. Now, we don't have to go into all the history of all this stuff, but you should know that the Japanese, you see, all lands are conquered lands. I'm getting way too deep in the weeds here already, but I don't care. People think about American Indians, you know, or Aborigines and those poor indigenous people. Did you know that there were indigenous people in Japan, too? Did you know that that samurai armor you see, you can picture it in your head right now, the samurai armor, the shoulder flaps, the works. Did you know that's not what the original Japanese armies looked like? The original Japanese armies looked very traditional for the times, long spears, things like that. And then they found themselves in a horrific battle with the indigenous people, if we're even going to call it indigenous, I hate even using that word, with the tribal people who were already there. And they found that they were having a hard time killing these people because they had better armor. They had different ways of fighting, and they adopted those ways, and that became part of traditional Japanese culture. Anyway, so we're fast-forwarding through all this. Japan basically gets to the point where they cut off the outside world. They just say, hey, we're not trading with anyone. Your religion isn't welcome here. People who aren't Japanese aren't welcome here. We're just going to keep doing us. Until one day, an American, it's funny how much we had a play in this, an American, this is in the 1800s, an American comes into Japan, and he's a Navy man with a modern Navy ship, and he pops into Japan, and he's looking around, and he sees they have muskets. Most of them don't even have guns at all. Most of them still have swords. They're still wearing flip-flops. It basically, he feels like he's been taken back in time. And he starts telling Japan, hey, we want you to trade with us. And Japan says, nah, I don't think so. And he said, maybe you didn't see the warship out there, Mr. Guy, who's still wearing a sword around. We're going to trade with you. Japan starts to wake up to the fact that they can't survive unless they modernize. But they have a problem, or a good thing, depending on how you want to look at it. Look, everything can be good and bad, right? They have a problem. Japan, to this day, but Japan's very, very proud of their heritage, very proud of the people there are. They don't look at their country like so many Americans do and hate it. They're proud of it. It's a good thing. You want to be proud. You want to raise a nation of people proud of their country. Japan didn't necessarily want to change. It just wanted to modernize. So they went through something called the Meiji Restoration. The Meiji Restoration. What this was this. This was a highly ambitious, highly intelligent plan to move Japan into modern times while at the same time keeping, you know, with who they are. They wanted to stay who they were, but modernize. And they did this because they knew they were about to be trampled and colonized by modern nations if they didn't do it. It's unlike many things I can find in history for a nation to just change direction like this. What did they do? Boom. Immediately, they disperse advisors all over the world to figure out how modern countries do what they do. What do you mean you have a modern economy? Okay, well, let's go to some modern economies and let's work with their governments there and figure out what does that mean. I'll take that information. I'll bring it back to Japan. Oh, what do you mean a modern military? Okay, they actually went to Germany. Japan goes to Germany. Germany has a checkered but really good military history. They're a very militaristic people, as we've seen a couple times. So they go to Germany and they say, hey, how do you do what you do? And the Germans would work with them. And then, of course, how that works is soon the nations are working together. Let us buy rifles from you. Hey, send your advisors to us. Train our troops how to... So a nation, this is so hard, a nation turns on a dime and they become modern, and they become modern quickly, really, really quickly. Now they're hanging on to the old, you know, Bushido code samurai stuff, which, yeah, it is sweet, Chris. It is really cool. So don't worry, you'll still see guys with swords on, but they're doing it with swords on one hip and a machine gun slung over their shoulder. And it's really cool. Right now, we're at the really, really cool phase. Wow, it's so impressive. This nation turns around. But there's generally a negative when there's a positive. Everything's a give and take, no? Have you ever had a friend? I know, fellas, every guy listening to the sound of my voice will have had a friend like this. Ladies, you probably knew a guy like this. You ever have a friend of yours who loved to fight? He's always wanted to fist fight somebody. And man, there are some real positives that come with that. You're out at on a Friday night, some dime across the bar catches your eye, and you think, man, I'd like her phone number. I think I'll take her to Red Lobster tomorrow. And you go hit on her, and it turns out she has a boyfriend you didn't see, comes out of the bathroom, and he's got a couple boys with him, and you know you're going to have to fight. Man, it's sure nice in those times to have your buddy who loves to fight right by you. Let's do it. We're rolling. Now you got someone throwing hands on your behalf. It's great, isn't it? It's great. It's not as fun when you're just enjoying a night and he thinks someone offended him, and soon you're getting thrown out by the bouncers because he decided to fight everybody in the place. There's a good and a bad to being a society that values very much its warrior code. And we're about to discuss how that hurt Japan and how that led directly to Pearl Harbor on the Jesse Kelly Show. Before we get to that, let me just say this. I love tempura shrimp. Chris, have you ever had tempura shrimp at one of those Japanese... Oh, my bad, Chris. I forgot you're not allowed. Well, everyone who isn't Chris, I would highly recommend some tempura shrimp. And if you're going to make tempura shrimp, it's actually pretty easy to do at the house. I know, because it looked easy watching the wife do it. But use Biloxi shrimp while you do it. Don't buy communist shrimp. 95% of the shrimp you buy, that shrimp in your grocery store, it came from overseas. It came from Vietnam and countries like that. Commie countries. Biloxi shrimp comes right out of the Mississippi Gulf. American jobs. American shrimp boats. Go to BiloxiShrimpCo.com. That gets you 10% off your order. It's delivered to your front door. Make sure you get the herbs and spices, by the way. Oh, it's so good. BiloxiShrimpCo.com. Promo code Jesse. All kinds of bundles and packages available, whatever your budget is. Go now. Now. More Pearl Harbor next.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. We're doing a little history rewind because it's December 7th. It's December 7th. That's the anniversary of Pearl Harbor. So we're kind of getting boned up on a little history before Pearl Harbor. If you missed my talk previously, if you missed a segment before, we're just going kind of through the history of Japan and how they were kind of backwards and isolated, and then they had to modernize and things like that. So now we're at the point where Japan has... Oh, by the way, I'm going to stop real quick here and play this. We're definitely going into recession. This is Jim Cramer.
Everyone's decided there's going to be a recession. I don't see the recession coming.
That means a recession's virtually guaranteed. If Jim Cramer says we're not going to have one, it's a guarantee now. Now we know it's going to be severe. So anyway, we'll get back to the politics and stuff and Elon Musk and everything else in a minute. But I'm doing history. I don't care. So now Japan has modernized itself. Woohoo! Got this modern military. And you still have this mindset where the warrior is admired most. And that's, you know, it can be very good. It's nice. Boy, you're real tough. But the problem is when you have a very tough military and you have a warrior mindset, you want to use it. you want to use it. Why do you think so many of these guys, these special forces types, Navy SEAL types, Delta Force types, why do you think they get out of the military and they go become private military contractors, or they work security somewhere, some security consultant? Or why do you think so many of those guys do that? Because that's what they do well. When you have those skills, you want to use them. Japan starts to branch out a little bit, and Japan starts to slap around Russia. They beat Russia in the early 1900s. That was unheard of. No army of Asians can beat a white army. That was the thinking back then, because everyone was real racial. The Japanese were too, by the way. I'm not blaming anyone else. Japanese thought they were racially superior to everyone too. It was just kind of that era. But Japan's beating Russia. Japan's beating China. And Japan's discovering something. This military we have, it's pretty useful. And our military mindset, also pretty useful. And if we keep taking over things, we kind of get all of their resources and we don't have many resources. This whole conquest thing is kind of fun. I think I'll stick with it. And Japan eventually finds itself in China. I say finds itself, they invaded China. All right. Japan invades China. Manchuria, to be specific. And Japan starts gobbling up Chinese territory. Now, Japan's still a tiny nation compared to China, but China is really on the down and outs right now. They don't have an emperor anymore. The nationalists are fighting the communists in China, so it's a divided country. And Japan steps in and starts taking over Chinese territory and gobbling up Chinese resources, which brings us to right before Pearl Harbor. Japan has a problem. And it is a problem. I don't know how I would have solved it. I don't know what the solution is, but this was Japan's problem. You've been fighting a war in China for a long time, killing a lot of Chinese people, and telling all your countrymen back home that this is for Japan, and this is for the betterment of Japan, and these Japanese soldiers who died, they died for the cause, and this is really important. But you don't have enough people if you're Japan to take over China. They're several times larger than you are. You also don't necessarily have the luxury of just pulling out and going home, because then you lose all the resources you just gained that now your country needs. And how do you tell the families of all those dead Japanese troops that it was all for nothing? Okay, well, that's already bad. And here's another bad part. You have countries like Great Britain and America telling you, get out of China. Now, maybe you're saying to yourself, why wouldn't the Japanese just say, up yours, I'll do whatever I want? Well, it's because Japan is not a resource-rich nation. Japan was getting gigantic quantities of the things it needed, things like steel and oil, from us. We're selling you all the stuff you need to survive. If we say get out, you have to consider that. Japan didn't feel like it was in a place where it could get out, where it could stop. So, I mean, what's more dangerous than a door half open, that old saying? Chris, is that an old saying or did I just make that up? I just made up that saying, I think. What's more dangerous than a door half open? I mean, it's true. A half open door is the most dangerous thing in the world. Either close it all the way or open it all the way. Don't leave it halfway open so someone can walk into the hard part of it and break their nose. Japan decides it has a choice. It can either pull out of China and abandon everything, or it can instead go all in. They chose option B. But that doesn't explain how it brought them to the shores of Pearl Harbor. I will explain that next in a long extended history portion of the Jesse Kelly Show. I do this from time to time because I enjoy it. We'll get back to politics whenever I feel like it. I'm having fun before we get to that. Who do you get your cell phone service from? Easy question. I mean, you're mad about last night's election, maybe. Oh, no, we lost the Senate. There was an election today. Did you know that? And there's one tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. Every single day in the United States of America is now election day. now that corporate America has decided to get involved in politics, every single day is election day. So let me ask you something. Who did you vote for today? Every day you have a charge by your cell phone company. You pay it probably once a month, but every day there's a charge. Who'd you vote for today? Did you vote for AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile? Really? You voted Democrat today? You could switch to Pure Talk and you could vote for your values every day. Speaking of Pearl Harbor, their CEO is a veteran. They love this nation so much. Their customer service, all Americans. When you talk to someone at Pure Talk, it's so refreshing and so odd. You speak to someone who speaks and understands English very well. It's wonderful. It takes 10 minutes from your cell phone right now. This is all you have to do. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. That saves you an additional 50% off your first month. You want to keep your phone? Fine. Keep your number? Fine. Dial #250, say Jesse Kelly. Switch to Pure Talk today. Well, the kids don't
eat and the dog can't sleep. Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Open up your windows.
Mr. Vice President, Mr. Speaker, members of the Senate and of the House of Representatives, yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
It is December 7th, and this is the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, you can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I've been nerding out on history for about a half hour. Pearl Harbor, all the buildup to it with Japan. If you missed that or any part of it, you might just find yourself enjoying it. Go download the whole podcast, available right after the show. iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. They take the whole three-hour show and they podcast it. So you don't have to worry about missing anything. Now back to what we were talking about. Okay, so now Japan, they've invaded China. America has warned them, Great Britain has warned them, you need to get out. You need to get out. We don't like this. You're messing up our stuff we have going on in China. Get out. We want you out. Get out. Japan feels like it doesn't have the option to get out. And so Japan, they decide they have to go all in. And what all in for Japan looked like was this. Japan, it's crazy. People do not understand The Pacific War, the Pacific version of World War II, is comfortably the largest theater of war in the history of mankind, because you're just used to looking at all that blue on a globe and it all kind of looks like it's just a bunch of islands in there together somewhere. It looks super close. It's massive. There are all these island chains around Japan and Southeast Asia and the Philippines, all these Mariana Islands, Solomon Islands. There's so much out there. Guam, the huge, huge, and a gigantic area. Japan decides this is what they're going to do. Instead of getting out of China, they are going to take a very, very bold, frankly insane and suicidal step, but they're going to take a very bold step. And they're going to find, they're going to identify the places that have resources they want, and they're going to use that new wonderful military they have and invade all of them virtually at the same time. The goal is this. The goal is to invade those places, seize their natural resources, oil, rubber, things like that, seize their natural resources, and then brace themselves for what they know will come. There will be a backlash of some kind. There will be some kind of counterattack. But the plan is grab these areas, hold these areas. We are the warriors. We are the samurai. They will not be able to kick us out of these islands. The losses will be too great. The soft Westerners are too sissified. They'll give up, and we will keep most of what we've seized. In the end, if you're Japan, you win. Even if you lose some troops, even if you lose some of the land you've seized, in the end, you'll have more than you had before, right? In the end, you're better off. That was their way of thinking. And do keep in mind, prior to this, that had really been most of the history of warfare. The loser generally got something. Even if you lost, you kept saying, hey, let's negotiate a settlement. You can have a little of this and I'll have a little of that, and we'll stop shooting each other in the face. You good? Good. Yeah, we're good. So Japan decided to make another fateful decision, and this was the one that ended Japan. Probably the biggest military blunder by a nation state in the history of mankind. Japan decided that America had to be taken care of. And this look, you should know that when the plan of Pearl Harbor was proposed, it was Yamamoto was his name. He's actually a military genius, fascinating guy. But when he proposed the plan to attack Pearl Harbor, he was shot down immediately by the Japanese. They said, have you lost your mind? You want to attack the United States of America? What? No. No. Yamamoto, he was so adamant that this was the only way, he actually threatened to quit. He threatened to quit if you didn't do it. And they valued this guy's leadership and his knowledge so much, they said, okay, well, what's the plan? And he said, this is the plan. We go attack Pearl Harbor. We attack America's aircraft carriers in Pearl Harbor, because they clearly knew aircraft carriers were going to be the future. You want planes landing on ships and taking off of ships. That's how you do naval warfare now. He said, what we'll do is we'll go attack America's carrier fleet in Pearl Harbor. They didn't think they were going to defeat us, by the way. That's something people totally get wrong these days. They had no intention of defeating us. They had no intention of avoiding war with us. They knew we would declare war. They knew we would come back. What they wanted to do was hurt our fleet bad enough at Pearl Harbor to give them the extra time they needed to really dig in more in these islands and be too dug in, so when we showed up, the soft Americans simply would not be able to withstand the Japanese spirit. That, remember, every minute you spend on an island, if you're a Japanese armor, that island gets easier to defend because you're building concrete pillboxes, you're building runways, you're building the defenses. Time is your friend. You need more of it. So what they did was they put together an invasion fleet. Now, it is hard for us to understand. I'll be honest with you. I still don't fully understand myself how something like this could remain this secret. We knew there was a big fleet Japan was assembling. We knew Japan had a modern navy. We saw what they'd done to the Russian navy. So we were well aware of Japanese capabilities. But they put together a fleet They put together a fleet, and the purpose of the fleet is to cross the Pacific Ocean and secretly make the way to Pearl Harbor. Because this is the cell phone camera age and there's nothing secret anymore, it's hard for us to understand how something like that could be that secret. Nevertheless, they pulled it off and they took off towards the United States of America in secret. Now, fast forward to Sunday morning, Pearl Harbor. We had no idea they were coming at all. This is the part of the story I won't spend too long on because you know most of this story already. I thought the background you might not have known. We just didn't know they were coming. And we'll never know the truth of this. The Japanese claimed there was some kind of an accident. The Japanese didn't declare war before they attacked us. That's actually a huge part of why America's response was so angry. We were so mad about it. Unconditional surrender only, because it was the sucker punch aspect of it. Now, they attacked us at Pearl Harbor, but we had some wonderful luck, or if you're a conspiracy theorist, you'll say FDR did it on purpose. If you're a believer, you'll say it was God's providence. For whatever reason, the carriers that they wanted to attack at Pearl Harbor weren't at Pearl Harbor. They were out at sea. You can't find things out at sea. It's very hard. It's a drop in the bucket. So they showed up and there were a bunch of battleships at Pearl Harbor. First wave of planes come in. These are the planes that did the most damage. You have several different kinds of planes, by the way. You have torpedo planes. You have bombers. And I don't mean like gigantic bombers that drop a bunch of bombs. You'll have a plane with one 500-pound bomb on it, and he'll try to drop it precisely. And that's who came swooping into Pearl Harbor. Then the second wave of planes eventually came in after they did all that damage, tried to shoot up the airfields and things like that. And after that, America declared war. Now, I'm going to do something a little different when we get back. We're going to get back to some FBI talk and various political talk, but I'm going to play a little bit more of this FDR speech than you've normally heard, because everyone's heard the beginning. Why don't you give us the juice and hear a little bit more? I think the devil's in the details sometimes. I'll explain why in just a moment. I'm going to play a little bit more of this, then we'll get back to politics. Now, I know what you're thinking right now. I know exactly what you're thinking. Jesse, there were so many heroes that day. And Jesse, you're also my hero. And I get that. What, Chris? But no, in all seriousness, get a hero gun because there's no one coming to save you. A hero gun is a non-lethal gun. It shoots pepper balls 100 miles per hour. They hit, it hurts, and then they explode. It's freaking fantastic. It's already saved lives of my listeners. A hero arrow shoots the pepper gel. Brutal. It's a little smaller and more aerodynamic. Easier to carry around. Easier for women, for sure. Fits right in a purse. It's kind of shaped like a phone or a TV remote. Go to hero2020.com and get one for the person you love the most today. Hero2020.com. Go. The code Jesse gets you a special discount. You don't need a concealed carry permit, but you do need to carry something on you at all times that will allow you to stop a bad man. Hero2020.com, code Jesse. State restrictions may apply.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so? Yeah. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I never, ever, ever do what I'm about to do. I don't like playing long audio cuts on the show. I like playing them when we have good ones, and I like playing for you and me, what the news that's out there and the things people are saying. I think that's important. I don't like letting it go on too long because it gets super boring. And if somebody's driving home just now tuning in, hey, where's Jesse? Who's this person on the radio? So in general, I don't like doing that. And I may cut in here a couple times, but FDR, that day that will live in infamy thing, you know, that's about 4 minutes long. Everyone thinks it's about 15 seconds. That's the only part they ever hear. It's about 4 minutes long. I think there's a couple little interesting tidbits in there, and I think it's a good bit of history. I know people listen with their kids, and I think this is something that I think it's a cool thing for people to hear. I may cut in. I may not. It's very, very long, but But I think it's important that we hear it on this December 7th. And then we're done with that. We're going to move on to political talk, the GOP, the FBI, emails, culture war stuff, all these things. But here is the whole thing.
Mr. Vice President, Mr. Speaker, members of the Senate, of the House of Representatives, yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. The United States was at peace with that nation, and at the solicitation of Japan.
We were at peace with that nation. Kind of. Do keep in mind there was no military conflict, but as I just laid out, we had already basically declared an economic war against Japan. We seized their assets in America. I'm not blaming us, but at peace with Japan, it's a bit of a stretch.
Was still in conversation with its government and its emperor, looking toward the maintenance of peace in the Pacific. The attack yesterday on the Hawaiian Islands has caused severe damage to American naval and military forces. I regret to tell you that very many American lives have been lost. In addition, American ships have been reported torpedoed on the high seas between San Francisco and Honolulu. As Commander-in-Chief of the Army and Navy, I have directed that all measures be taken for our defense. But always will our whole nation remember the character of the onslaught against us. No matter how long it may take us to overcome this premeditated invasion, the American people in their righteous might will win through to absolute victory.
I hate FDR, and even I like this speech. I can't help it. Like, gets me fired up, Chris. I'm ready. Put me in, coach.
I believe that I interpret the will of the Congress and of the people when I assert that we will not only defend ourselves to the uttermost, but will make it very certain that this form of treachery shall never again endanger us.
I'm going to cut in again here really quickly. Treachery, you hear the indignation in his voice. Do keep in mind, the attack itself was bad. Do not ever discount the attack coming before they declared war. Before they declared war. That part of it, if you read the things people wrote back then, people in leadership wrote back then, people across the country wrote back then, it was that part of it that created not just anger. Anger would have been there anyway. It cemented a hatred in there. The ultimate sucker punch, right? You have a squabble with a guy and you decide you're going to scrap out behind the gym after school that day. That's one thing. You have a squabble with a guy and he waits till your back is turned and runs up and blasts you in the back of the head. Now, that's a whole other thing. It was the sucker punch aspect of it that really created this hatred. I'll let him continue.
Hostilities exist. There is no blinking at the fact that our people, our territory, and our interests are in grave danger. with confidence in our armed forces, with the unbounding determination of our people, we will gain the inevitable triumph. So help us God. I ask that the Congress declare that since the unprovoked and dastardly attack by Japan on
unprovoked
Sunday, December 7th, 1941, a state of war has existed between the United States and the Japanese Empire.
And that is the speech. How about that? There's a little history. Oops, ended up taking up the whole hour, Chris. we'll talk about FBI stuff next. We have plenty of time to talk about that. Tom Cotton, dunking on people, all kinds of stuff. Let's get to some emails. Jesse, my wife and I try to give a nice donation to charity every year around now. My wife asked me which charity we should choose this year, and without hesitation, I told her about Tunnel to Towers. It's tough to find a charity that has a good mission that also ends up spending most of its donations on its mission, so we end up doing something local. This time, we feel great about our donation. Thanks for all you do. Always fun to listen to your takes on things. But one of the biggest takeaways is when you talk about which companies and charities are worthy of the limited dollars we have. This is from Chris. It is Christmas time. I know you want to give back. I know you have a generous heart. Unlike me, you're a good person. Please be careful with every nice-sounding cause and charity this year. Please be careful. I tell you about Tunnel to Towers all the time, not just because they have a great mission of caring for first responder families and Gold Star families, widows and orphans. I mean, what they do is wonderful. Don't take my word for it. Go look up Tunnel to Towers. When you give to Tunnel to Towers, the money goes to the widows and orphans. Not, they don't say that. Hey, send us money. And then you see the CEO on a private plane in Barbados. No, when you give, it gets to widows and orphans. T2T.org. $11 a month is what they ask. Give whatever you want, but give to Tunnel to Towers, especially this Christmas. T2T.org.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.